If you were a wife during the time they served, I want you to stand also, because many of the wives sacrificed greatly. And I want to do something this morning. This song that you're going to hear, I know it's not really I don't even know if it's really a church song, but it's on my heart and we're going to hear it. And it's called "I'm Proud to Be an American." And our country's backslid this morning, but I thank God we can still live here in this country. I mean that, don't you? I mean that. And I tell you what I want us to do this morning. I want us to pray for our country. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation, in the next few months, we're going to have the most important election in our nation's history in November. It's not just about Democrats and Republicans. It's about issues of, like we mentioned, homosexual marriage. It's about issues of abortion. And we get criticized. If you say anything's wrong, they say you hate people. We don't hate nobody. But what the Bible says is wrong, we say is wrong. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to kill. I don't mean you hate people that do it. I don't mean it. We love the sinner, but hate the sin, just like God does. Just like, you don't have to apologize for taking his stand, his side. And so, you know what a prophet is? A prophet is somebody who takes God's side in a controversy. That's what it is. In the Old Testament, God always had men who took his side in a controversy. I don't think you ought to be hateful and hate people and say stupid stuff, but I think you ought to take God's stand, his side, in a controversy. And so, let's honor the Lord this morning, honor our veterans. Tell you what I'm going to do. We're gonna play that song. I never done it like this before, and we're gonna all stand. And I want you to shake these fellas and Miss Millie's hand, and tell them we appreciate their sacrifice for what we did. Go ahead, Brother Mike, and we're gonna honor our flag. Let's all stand. Shake these fellas' hand this morning. Go over to them and tell them you appreciate them.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Amen.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom.
Amen.
And they can't take that.
That's right. Thank God for our flag. Amen. Thank God.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Amen.
And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till this day.
Amen. Thank God for our country. Amen. Fellowship now. Be friendly to somebody.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea.
Amen.
From Detroit down to Houston.
Sure.
And New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
thank God, let's say it now,
that I'm proud to be an American.
Thank God for our country this morning. Thank God for our country this morning. Ain't you glad? I'm glad we live in America. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless the USA.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Yes.
At least I know I'm free.
Praise God.
And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
give them a big hand this morning. Amen. Thank God. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you, fellas. Amen. 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 Well, hallelujah. That sounds good to me. There ain't no doubt. I love this land. God bless the USA. I'm glad I live in this country. I don't want to move nowhere else. I go to heaven. I've been to a few other countries, and I couldn't wait to get back to America. And all these flag-burning, Constitution-hating, history-denying nuts ought to just move to Russia if they don't like it here. I want everybody to be happy and love America. Thank God for the USA. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 1. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 1. You want to read a book of wars, the Bible is a book of wars. The Bible records war after war after war after war. There's a lot of war heroes in the Bible. A lot of you men like to watch those TV documentaries where they talk about war heroes and war stories. And I guess sometimes they might be all right. I've never been a whole lot interested in them, but once in a while. You want to get into some real war stories, you get in this book right here. The greatest wars ever fought and the greatest war heroes are listed right there in your Bible. The Bible is the greatest book on history. The Bible is the greatest book on the future. The Bible is the greatest book on raising children, marriage, life, salvation, why we're here, what we're doing here. When you got a Bible, you carry an entire library in your hand. All the answers to the world's great questions in one volume. What a book. What a book. And so this morning, we're going to look at some fallen war heroes. And some of these are men you've heard of, and I'm going to mention some that are my heroes. You know, little boys grow up with heroes. All little boys grow up with heroes. And little boys grow up thinking, man, he's strong, he's tough. Might be a football player, might be a boxer or a wrestler or an athlete of some kind or another. And little boys, and we should teach our boys, listen, parents, we should teach our boys to have God's men as their heroes. God's men, godly men, and God's men. And our girls, we should teach our girls to want to be like God's woman when she grows up. Pick out a little girl, your little girl, tell her to pick out some lady in the church that you believe is a good Christian woman and say, boy, wouldn't you want to be like her when you grow up? Be like, little girls shouldn't want to grow up and be Madonna. We got too many little boys, they want to be Eminem when they grow up. Boy, you're sure going to be a loser. Listen, the Bible talks about some fallen war heroes. War heroes in the Bible. And so, look at it here in 2 Samuel chapter 1, and look at verse 25. Saul had died, Jonathan had died in the battle, and he said, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. David, they loved each other, best friends. Very pleasant thou hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. That's how close David and Jonathan were. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Now, I want to preach this morning on remembering the fallen. Way back in 1938, 150,000 people gathered and watched Franklin D. Roosevelt dedicate the Eternal Light Monument on Oak Hill. 20 years later, on Memorial Day, they brought two coffins in there from World War II and Korean War, and they didn't even know. Some of them boys got blowed up so bad in the war that they couldn't identify them. They're just pieces of their body. And they put them in a coffin and bring them back, and you know how that's got started? The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And there's a lot of them guys never did get identified. They'd ship them back in body bags. And some of them were just blowed up where bombs and stuff would go off. They was blowed up to where you couldn't even find nothing of them. They just knew they was gone. And their entire body was blown to bits. And they started the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I got to thinking about all the unknown Christians in this battle that me and you're in. Be down just higher, Brother Mike. I thought about all the unknown Christians, all the little old ladies that's been up in them mountains of Spruce Pine and Burnsville and Bakersville. My mom told me that when they were young, that back before they didn't have cars and stuff, and my grandpa, mom said my grandpa would leave up yonder in Aldapass and come down like 181 down toward Morganton to get groceries. And while he'd be gone, he'd just take a horse and stuff. It would come a big snowstorm, and he wouldn't get back for a week or two. Said he'd get snowed in, couldn't get up the mountain. And it'd be so bad, them little trails. And she said it got so cold in their house that her brothers took hatchets and stuff, because everything was wet outside, and took hatchets and cut some of the walls in the house, like the bedroom, the studs in the wall, and put them on the fire to keep them from freezing to death. And you know, you think about my grandma Bean, how that she lived like that. You know, we think we've got it hard nowadays. We don't know what hard times are, people. I mean, boy, we think, well, we've been out of milk since 6 o'clock. You know, it's the tribulations here. No, listen, brother, we have no idea what hard times are. And buddy, back then, them people went through some stuff. And it's just last generation. I mean, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And mom said they'd had it hard. She said that her brothers would take a string and put it out in the snow and sit there all day long and put a little piece of bread in it and try to catch birds. When those birds would hop on that snow, they'd grab it like that, try to catch around their leg and fix them and eat them. She said their brothers would they'd do anything just for something to eat. That's just right up here in Spruce Pine. You think of all the women that got down on the floor and prayed and said, God, I'm not giving up on you. Lord, I'm not giving up. You are feeding my family. And all that. And buddy, they lived right and served God till they died. You know what they are in my book? They're a war hero. They're a war hero. Buddy, them people like that, them war heroes. Brother Mike, would you turn me down just a tad, please? They're, in my view, they are war heroes. They fell in the battle, but thank God they stayed true until the very end. You know what a war hero is? A war hero is somebody who takes that sword and goes into battle, and they say, if I die, I die, but I'm not letting go of this sword, and I'm going to fight to the death. That's what a war hero is. There's a lot of men that did that so you and I could have the right to stand. Did you know this morning there are men who bled and died for the right for those people to protest today? There are men who bled and died so that I could stand up here in this pulpit and preach what I believe today. There are men who bled and died so that you could walk out of here this morning, get in your car, drive with your clothes, with your shoes, and own it, private property, and drive to Walmart and buy you a pair of shoes and do whatever you want to do. There are people who died so you could have that right. You young people, you just didn't have those rights. Kids in other countries can't do that. There's kids in other countries cannot do that. There are men who died so that you could buy that house where you live and own that property. Private ownership and freedom. Because you can get in your car and just drive down the road. You know why? Somebody went to war and died for our constitutional freedom that we can have those rights. And that flag right there. I know they spit on it. They cuss it. They tear it up. They rip it. They burn it. But listen, that old red, white, and blue, I'm telling you, there's people died so I could stand underneath that thing this morning and preach. And we ought to remember and honor the dead and those that died for our freedom. Amen? I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest sins of our generation is the sin of not being thankful. Ingratitude. No appreciation. People just take it and take it. You can hand these kids something, they'll just take it and run. Nobody says thank you. You can take. I took people out to eat and bought their dinner. And their mom would say, see you later. Not thank me for a ride. Don't thank you for coming to get them in church. Don't thank you for what. It's built in our nature in this generation of everybody owes us something. I'm special. I'm telling you something. We ought to get back and be thankful for what God has done for us. The older I get, the more thankful I am for what the generation before us did. When you're young, you just think you deserve it and it's all like that. But the older you get, the more you realize that everything comes at a price. And somebody paid the price so you can have the right that we have today. I can stand here and preach because of somebody's sacrifice. You can go get a job, start a business, cook out. You can, it's Memorial Day tomorrow. You can get hamburgers and cook out on the grill. And you know what? You know what keeps people from just coming over and beating you up and taking everything you got? The law, the police. You know what makes the police? Our Constitution and our government. You know what makes the government? The flag. You know what made the flag? People who believe the Bible and stood for what's right and fought for our liberty that we can cook out tomorrow. When you throw that hot dog on the grill, just say, I'm proud to be an American, and somebody paid a price that I could throw this hot dog on the grill. Amen? We ought to remember. And I'm getting to the spiritual part in just a minute. I'm wanting to get ahead of myself. Listen, we've got a Bible because people gave us a Bible. We've got a church because people died for the church. We've got a choir because somebody died and bled and shed their blood so that me and you could have the Word of God. Amen? Somebody sacrificed just so me and you could have the Bible. Did you know that this morning? Somebody sacrificed so that you and I could have the Word of God. I read to you about William Tyndale. And William Tyndale was one of the greatest men that's ever lived. And he made one of the first translations of the Bible from Greek to English, right before the King James Bible was printed. As a matter of fact, the King James Bible took as its pattern William Tyndale's Bible. And William Tyndale was threatened by the Catholic Church. They were burned at the stake. And then them guys were killed. They were martyred. Listen, when you hold that King James Bible in your lap this morning, there are men who let them burn them to death so you and me could have that Bible. Don't you take that Bible for granted. Don't you take that Bible and throw it up in the back glass of your car and not touch it till next Sunday. Don't you take that Bible and throw it home under a stack of magazines and not even pay any attention to it. Somebody paid the price so me and you could have a Bible. I tell you something, brother, I wouldn't take nothing in the world. If you told me you can have all the money in North Carolina or never see the Bible again or never read the Bible again or never touch the Bible again, I'd say keep it and give me the Bible. That's how important it is to me. That's what's going to do good when we're dying. That's what's going to get us through our trouble. That's what's going to help you raise your kids. That's what's going to help you know how to make decisions. That's what's going to help you when you're laying in the hospital bed is the B-I-B-L-E. And thank God somebody loved the Word of God enough to pay a price so me and you could have it. Men have lost their houses, their family, their kids, their money, their lives. They've lost everything so we could have the Bible and church. I read about this doctor who's up in Virginia, and this doctor did a great job, and everybody in the community loved this doctor. They loved him. And this old doctor, he done great. And everybody thought, man, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened around here. And he told him, he said, now when I die, I don't want no monuments. He said, don't build nothing around me. He said, just wherever I die, just take a shovel and dig a hole and bury me. Well, sure enough, he was out one day on some calls, and he made a house call, and he come back, and he's coming through town and died. Had a heart attack or something and died. And brother, you know what they done? They said he always wanted to be buried right where he died. And they built a place in the middle of that main street, still there today. And brother, they dug a hole and buried that doctor. And they put up a monument there and said, here lies the bones of Dr. So-and-so. He loved us. He gave himself for us. He helped our community. And boy, they put a monument there and said, we honor his memory. We remember what this man did for us when he died. That's what Memorial Day is. Memorial Day is when you look back and you say, you know what? Them poor little old boys, some of them 19, 20 years old, rushed with them gun in the battle, and brother went in there to Waterloo somewhere, and boy, some of them got their head. You know what I've always thought was terrible? Was in them wars, maybe like in the Civil War and all them places, where they'd have these big battles, and you imagine maybe just getting your arm blowed off right there. Maybe your arm blowed off. And all this just blood and bones exposed right here, and your arm in bits of pieces, and you're laying down. You're so sick and weak that you can't walk. And all the everybody else has done run off down yonder in the field somewhere fighting. And they go back and the enemy's all around you. And everybody walks by you and thinks you're dead. But you're not dead. And you're laying there. And you're bleeding. And you lay there for days and days and days. A slow death. There's a lot of them died like that. There's a lot of them died with a horse. A dead horse laying on their body. There's men who died out there in the field, maybe with parts of their face or parts of their arm blowed off, and just laid there and died, brother. I mean, bled to death. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days of heat and starvation and cold and laying out there dead. And yet, we can't come to church when it rains 10 drops. And if it's just a little bit inconvenient, we can't get up early enough to come to Sunday school. They bled to death for us to have this right, and we won't crawl out of the bed. We're so lazy, and we won't read our Bible because all we want to do is watch TV. And listen, brother, you know what's wrong with us? We're just not thankful for what God's given us. Amen. I'm talking me. I'm talking all of us here this morning. God's been good to us. People paid a price for us to have this opportunity. We ought to be in the choir shouting every service, and brother, ready to give our tithes and offering. We ought to say, glory to God, I'm free this morning. We got lights, we got air conditioning, we got chandeliers, we got King James Bibles. Woo! Let's go to church and shout the victory this morning. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what we ought to be doing. Remember somebody? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Nero, the Roman Emperor. They both lived about the same time. Nero ruled the whole Roman Empire. He run the nation and sat on a throne. Paul was an obscure Jew that nobody never heard tell of. Weak, unimpressive. Bodily presence was weak. That means he was probably a little swiveled up man. He didn't have a lot of if you saw him, you wouldn't look at him twice. Yet Nero, everyone honored and knew who he was and honored and feared Nero. Paul was thrown in jail, led a group of people, small little band, and he was known as a troublemaker and wound up getting killed for what he believed. And 2,000 years later, we name our sons Paul and our dogs Nero. You know why? Because Paul stood for what was right, and we still honor him today, and it lives on. Listen, people, when somebody gives their life for a cause that is right, they are remembered from then on for that thing. And me and you are in the battle of the Lord. We are soldiers in the armies of God. We ought to fight and fight and fight. Somebody mentioned in Sunday school, I heard when Brother Cain was up here teaching, and somebody mentioned about somebody who used to come to church and they used to be on fire for God, and now they're not here anymore and they're back. And every church has them like that. We've got plenty. Every church does. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to be AWOL on God. You don't want to be a has-been. You don't want to be a quitter. I don't want my girls over there this morning to look at my daddy and say, Daddy used to be a preacher. I don't want that. I don't want them to say, boy, I remember my daddy used to go to church, but now he don't even go. He quit. I don't want that. Listen, I'm going to die on the battlefield. I want to die preaching. Amen? If I got to die, I want to die. I hope I go up in the rapture. But I sure don't want to be a quitter before I die. You can't be a quitter. God don't bless quitters. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. And I'm telling you, if you're a real winner, you don't quit. And if you're a real quitter, you never will win nothing. And I'm telling you this morning, we need to stay on there for God. We need to make our mark on this world and stay for the Lord Jesus Christ. I got plenty of illustrations I could tell you about. My pastor, Hall Hollifield, who just went home to be the Lord. The things he said stuck in my mind. 93 years of age. I remember old preachers like Mack Hodge. Some of y'all don't remember Mack Hodge, but them old men that I met when I first got saved pushed me in the right direction and helped me form convictions and stand and belief that I still have this morning, and passing them on to y'all. You know where you got them? From me. You know where I got them? From them guys. You know where they got them? From all, right on back to Jesus Christ and the apostles in those days. I'm telling you this morning, we can't give up. Teenager, you can't quit. You can't be an AWOL. You don't want to be an ex-soldier. You don't want somebody to say, well, they used to serve God. They used to sing in the choir. They get back in there. Re-enlist. Thank God, I want to be an army. I don't want to be a has-been. I want to be in the army of the Lord. I want to be a veteran when I die. Let somebody remember me, a soldier of God's army. They said, somebody done a computer study on war, and in 6,000 years of human history, that's all they are, there has been 14,500 wars. That means there's only been 268 years of peace since there's been man on this earth. The rest we've been fighting. It's in man's nature to fight. 6,000 years of history and 14,000 wars. Man's nature is to fight. They're going to fight each other. And if they'll sooner or later fight each other and they kill each other. We'd wind up killing everybody if the Lord didn't stop it and intervene one of these days. And so let's take that nature and fight for the Lord and stand for Him. I'll never forget the story. I got a bunch of them up there, but I won't read you all of them this morning. George Whitfield. George Whitfield is one of the greatest preachers this country's ever seen, folks. They said Benjamin Franklin and them paced him off, and they said you could hear him a mile away on a clear night. They'd be up there, and they'd get around these pastors and stuff, they'd go around would throw their voice out. There wasn't no cars and airplanes and stuff. They said on a clear night you could hear, you could understand what that guy's saying a mile away. He's a preacher. And I mean, you ought to read about George Whitfield. And George Whitfield preached, they said he'd preach till his throat would bleed. And he'd preach and preach and not quit. And he'd travel from little town to little town and preach and preach, and people just getting saved by the thousands. That old boy preached a lot, and he got older and sick, and he's at this town preaching one time, and he's preaching there, and they said, when he's preaching, they said he got tired, and he went upstairs where he was staying, is like upstairs, like a little, like a bed and breakfast, something like that, you know, where they had them little thing, like they call it an inn. You've seen them on the old movies, where you go up steps, and they'd have a little bed up there, like a little motel, and that's where he was staying. And he went up there, and the old man got ready to lay down and go to bed. And a big old crowd gathered around down there in the street. And this big crowd gathered around. And they started hollering out and they said, "Preach, George! Preach! Preach, George! Preach! Preach, George! Preach! Preach, George! Preach!" And the old man got up there and he come to the window and bowed out and he said, "What?" He said, "Wasn't you there today?" And they said, "We wasn't there today. We had to work late in the field. We didn't get home a while ago. We missed your revival services. Will you preach to us, preacher? Will you preach to us?" And they said, that old guy got his Bible out there. He laid it on that window sill, and he took a candle that high, and he lit that candle. And he put that candle there where it shined on his Bible, and buddy, he cut loose and started preaching. And I'm telling you, he cut loose and he preached. That candle kept burning down. And boy, old George Whitfield preached, and he kept preaching and kept preaching and kept preaching. And finally, the crowd got all they could stand. He got down, that candle burned down there, and he went to bed and laid down and went to sleep. And the next morning they come, knocked on his door, nobody answered. Nobody answered. Finally, they pushed the door in, and there laid the stiff corpse body of old George Whitfield. He died during that night. And that candle had just gone out. And you know what they said? They said he preached till the light went out. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He preached till the light went out. By God's grace, preacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher, that's my desire. Listen, folks, by God's grace, I want to preach till the light goes out. Amen? You with me? Amen? that. There ain't nothing to go back to. The world don't have nothing out there worth living for. There ain't nothing out there in this world better than what God give us right here in this room. I want to preach till the light goes out by His grace. I'd hate to worry my family all the time. Them always worry, well, is he going to be at church? Is he not going to be there? Is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? What kind of a Christian are you? Get in there, man. Get in the battle. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm shot and I'm hurt and I'm bleeding. I am too. The devil shoots. But I'm telling you, you got to fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line for the glory of God. Do it when you don't feel like it. Do it when you don't want to. Do it when your flesh is screaming, do something else. Do it when your faith is weak. Do it when your mind is tired. Serve God! Be a veteran for Jesus one of these days. They'll remember you as one of the honored as the fallen one day. I want to preach till the light goes out. I don't know about you. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eyes closed.